First, Kirstjen Nielsen has stepped down as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. President Trump confirmed her resignation in a tweet yesterday. He also announced that Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleenan will serve as acting DHS Secretary. Nielsen made a brief statement about her departure this morning.
I share the president's goal of securing the border. I will continue to support all efforts to address the humanitarian and security crisis on the border.
The move is part of an overhaul of the department. On Friday, Trump pulled his nominee to lead Immigration and Customs Enforcement, saying he wants to go with somebody, quote, tougher. The changes come as the president has threatened to impose 25% tariffs on Mexican-made cars in response to the spike in border detentions. Ray Kozlowski is an associate professor of political science at the University of Albany. His areas of expertise include international migration, human smuggling and trafficking, homeland security, border security, and information technology. Ray, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, how surprised were you, if at all, by Nielsen's exit over the weekend?
Well, I wasn't surprised that it happened. It seems as if she was on the outs, shall we say, after General Kelly left. But and she seemed to have had made a bit of a rapprochement with the White House and people in the White House, but that was tenuous. But didn't expect it to come like this and this quickly and without much notice.
Can you talk about her tenure at Homeland Security? She was criticized by Democrats for the family separation policies, criticized for the by the president apparently constantly over the last number of months. What do you see her accomplishments or her downfalls?
Well, I mean, she's was put in a difficult position, partly again the family separation policy. The approach was really something that was put in play by Jeff Sessions, and the problem is with these ideas is that it's one thing to enunciate these policies and then to execute them. Practically speaking, how it is to how what's involved to have a type of zero tolerance policy? What kind of resources need to be put at ports of entry? What kind of resources need to be there for detention, different kinds of detention? And many of these things were not all lined up. And obviously we saw the challenges. And then on top of that, you had the situation where DHS really did not look good, especially other agencies as well, simply because they couldn't tell people where the children were and where their parents were. So it was a matter of, you know, information systems not being able to talk to each other, and really made things look really bad in terms of the organization itself.
And before we return to the leadership of Homeland Security and related agencies, I want to get your thoughts, since you study this kind of thing, on the current situation at the U.S. border with many people, often families, coming up from Central America. What, big picture, what are you making of this current situation?
Well, one of the things we have to understand is that the United States has historically had individuals coming primarily from Mexico, overwhelmingly from Mexico, young men who were coming to work in the United States. And when we see those apprehension figures from 2000 of 1.6 million, I mean, this is what we're primarily talking about. But over the past 5 years or so, what we have seen is this increasing number of unaccompanied minors and then families. And what's happening is that these people are coming for asylum. They are asylum seekers. They're not the people who, well, quite frankly, the Border Patrol was set up to try to apprehend and intercept. And that is those single men. And they've gotten used to it and gotten very good at that. But they're not equipped, if you will, to deal with families who are applying for asylum and in these numbers. What we are experiencing is, in a sense, what Europe has long been experiencing with asylum seekers coming.
And what kind of policy approach would be appropriate then?
Well, according to our law, these asylum seekers should be given a credible credible fear hearing when they enter into a port of entry, when they come into a port of entry, whether that's if they fly in and apply for say asylum, I'm here for asylum, whether they turn themselves in within the United States as well, within the country at some point, and they say, I seek asylum. And then there's a process of adjudicating that application. And so one would think that we should be able to do this, right? But the problem is that we do not have the resources allocated toward, again, hiring enough asylum officers for the USCIS and having them ready, and then having a sufficient number of immigration judges to adjudicate applications and appeals to applications.
Talking to Ray Kozlowski from the University of Albany, political scientist there, looking at the departure of President Trump's Homeland Security chief and other shakeups in that agency. Ray, there's reporting pointing toward President Trump's advisor, Stephen Miller, known as a hardliner on immigration, one of the few people there with the president in the White House since the beginning. Do you have thoughts on his role in immigration issues?
Well, he's been, again, he was a staffer for Senator Sessions, and he was helping Senator Sessions resist comprehensive immigration reform in 2013. He's been, again, a hardliner on the issue, since that time. And apparently the interpretation now of the shakeup here is that Miller is going to be calling the shots from the White House. And it's all very interesting, but it's another thing to actually turn a large ship of a bureaucracy like the Department of Homeland Security and to actually implement policies, because you have to have very clear direction and consistent direction and guidance to the people on the ground. And that's been one of the real challenges. And as you know, if things change rapidly and the people, the officers, don't know what they're supposed to do next, it doesn't make them particularly effective.
And we have at Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as we mentioned, President Trump said his choice, Ron Vitello, to head up the agency. He's out before taking over. He's looking, the president, for someone tougher. What could tougher mean in the context of immigrations and custom enforcement?
I'd like to know. I don't know what exactly that's supposed to mean. Basically, the Trump administration coming in has reversed the guidance that the Obama administration gave. Now, the Obama administration said that ICE should focus on criminal aliens, and particularly those who have violent crimes, et cetera, and put the resources that way. And there were those in ICE who thought that they were being, in a sense, constrained. Chains were on. They weren't necessarily able to deport as many unauthorized migrants as they would like. Well, the gloves came off, as it were, and they were allowed to pick up anybody. They were picking up people who were coming into court to report or into the office to report. And so, in terms of numbers, they're able to deport more in the way of numbers. I don't know what tougher really means. The one area where ICE does also have authority, and that's enforcing employer sanctions. And here we saw a raid at in Texas, and it's the largest raid at a workplace. 300 unauthorized migrants picked up. But I didn't see very much about owners or managers being arrested. And that's one of the things that you don't see in ICE statistics, is how many employers were fined in the last 2 years. So maybe, who knows, maybe they'll get tougher on employer sanctions. But quite frankly, I doubt it.
President Trump has talked about cutting funding that's going to the three Central American countries that are the source of these migrations, not direct aid and for the most part to those governments, but often to nonprofit NGO groups. What do you think of that change?
Well, as I understand it, again, this is not the first go-around with flows from Central America. Back in 2014, there was another asylum crisis. And by the way, again, President Obama had asked for a lot of resources that the House Republicans resisted giving. But the one thing that did come about was the provision of resources to assist with law enforcement and also with some of these NGOs to come up with alternative ways of dealing with conflicts, et cetera. And one of the things that happened is that the murder rates in some of these, the worst towns in Honduras, et cetera, had declined. So, you know, if that had something to do with it, and we're pulling this kind of these resources out and also the assistance for law enforcement there, we just may have higher murder rates and even more reason for people to flee those countries.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Ray Kozlowski from the University of Albany talking about changes at Homeland Security.